Blog Talk Radio.
Michael, is that you, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hold on. I got two mics and a microphone.
You got the mic. So, so God knows when Christy's going to pop in. So let's just get started. I figure we get to the really serious shit first.
Let's get out the way. What's going on?
Let's just get it out the way. I don't know what just happened in the. I don't know what just happened in the last week, but I saw some very disturbing pictures on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
Hey, you guys are funny.
Yo, I howled after when I saw mixed engagement pictures online.
I know. Holy Who shit. Does that?
Uncontrollable howl. Like, thank you,
How
Mick.
Did that happen, Mick?
That was
How
a
did
great
you...
laugh. I very much appreciate that. It was beautiful. It was a good moment. I haven't had a laugh like that in a while. Cathartic, to say the least. Proceed.
I don't know what you guys
Oh, my God.
About.
Really? You don't know? You don't know what the fuck I'm talking about? I howled laughter and just pointed it out to my wife. Of course, her being a girl, she was like, oh, that's so cute. I wish we had done that.
Yeah.
There was no fucking way we would have done that shit. No way.
All right. Let me say.
Yeah, no.
I
need
actual...
to hear this. Yes.
Reasoning for this was
professional. So, take one. Sorry.
Let him talk. Okay. Let him talk.
So here's what happened. So, as you know, I proposed a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
I'm glad Erica is laughing at you guys laughing.
I'm on mute. Don't worry. Go.
Yeah. All right. So. I proposed a couple of weeks ago. Before I proposed, I decided, hey, this would be a really good idea if I got a photographer to take pictures of the proposal. And then my plan was I was going to take those pictures and basically have it be like my wedding present to her.
I see.
So then when I was talking with the photographer, he goes,
you're
hey.
You're a cheap fuck.
What?
I said, you're a cheap fuck. Let you get her something real.
How do you figure? That would cost like hundreds of bucks. But anyway.
Yeah, it depends on who you're getting it from. Jesus.
So anyway, so I was talking to the photographer, and he's like, how about this? How about if after the proposal, I basically like come out and we'll do like a little like mini shoot after the proposal, and it'll kind of be like basically you're getting two sets of photos for one, you know, the price of one basically. Because it's kind of going to be like, I'm going to get the proposal, and then you're going to do, like, a little shoot afterwards.
You not only did you order it, you got into doing, like, he upsold you.
Yeah, he did, because I was really fine with him just taking pictures of the proposal.
It's
and then
even
like,
worse.
Yeah, I know.
Like, oh, yeah, no, that's great. And I'm going to make more money off you. What about this idea?
Well, no,
okay,
yeah,
so.
But at that point, he made no more money off of me because he didn't charge me a dime extra for this extra, like, throwing.
Because
so,
he felt so bad for you, for being so gay.
Yeah, when he developed the pictures.
Listen, if he had said, if he had said the first photo, the photos of the proposal were going to be X, and then the extra was going to be like three times X, I would have said no. But he was literally like, "I'll just do it. It's part of the package." And I was like, "Okay."
We'll see. So, did he actually catch the moment when you?
All right. Well,
no.
Here's the funny, not fun. Well, it is funny story actually. So the place that we had decided on, I have only been there once in my life, and this was like over a year ago. So when I was trying to coordinate with him this place, without getting into too much detail, we got our signals crossed because, yeah, there's two fountains in this place instead of one, and the one I was familiar with was not the one he was talking about when he was talking to me. So it was actually pretty funny because I texted him when I was walking into the garden-type place, and I'm like, all right, we're on our way. Are you there? And he's like, yeah, I'm in position by the fountain. And I'm like, okay, sweet.
The fountain. Let's go back to the fountain, the fact that there was a fountain there.
So I go, and I'm kind of like, when I get to the spot, I'm kind of like looking around to see, like, where is this guy? Like, what angle should I be standing at? And I don't see him anywhere. But then at that point, we're like stuck in this spot, and Erica's kind of looking at me like, what are you doing? Like, why are you, like, you know, like, why are you looking around? What are you doing? Like, she's kind of looking at me like something is going on here, but I don't know what. So at that point, I couldn't wait for this guy to pop out, so I just did my thing. And, you know, we had our nice little moment. I proposed. She said yes. We had our nice little moment. And then, like, 2 minutes later, I'm like, all right. You know, I start, like, waving my hand, like, hey, you can come out wherever you are. And fucking nobody shows up. And I'm like, where the fuck is this dude? And I look at my – I grab my phone, and he had texted me, like, three times, like, hey, don't see you guys. Are you approaching the gazebo? Are you this? And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So
basically, he was supposed to capture the moment, but
yeah,
he didn't.
He didn't. And I can't even blame him because – yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to blame Erica because she forgot that there is – another fountain, which is literally like five times the size of the fountain that me and her were
wait,
at.
Wait. So you hadn't proposed to her yet, or this was where you proposed to her?
This was where I was proposing. Like, I was going to propose at this fountain, and I told the guy to meet me at the fountain and basically capture the me proposing.
So then how is it Erica's fault if she didn't know you were doing that?
Oh, hold on. I'm gonna put you on with Erica, and she will explain this to you. Hold on.
Hello.
Hello.
Explain yourself.
Okay, no, this is where it really gets funny. We're driving to the place where he's like, oh, let's just go to Snug Harbor for the day. I'm like, all right, let's go. And then he's like, what entrance are we going in? And he's like Google mapping it. And I'm like, I don't know. We're just going to pick an entrance. We're going to the fucking gardens. It's like
so you
right
didn't
over
suspect
here. Why
anything.
Do we need an entrance?
You didn't suspect anything, then?
Well, no. But, like, I didn't know why he wanted to know where we needed to be. And so I
right.
pretty much told him, no, there's only one fountain. You know, this is the entrance we need to go in. And then when we get there, after we meet up with the photographer, he brings us to the other one. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot this one was here. Considering I've been to this place thousands
Wait,
of times.
Wait, so you met the photographer?
After the proposal, yes.
Oh, okay.
But before you, like, I really, like, I made sure I kept saying to him, please remind them to make fun of you for this today. But I will say that because while I did not expect the proposal, I knew it was going to happen eventually. So I was more surprised the photographer than the proposal. So it actually evened out. But please go ahead and continue making fun of him.
Yeah, no, I'm going to. I mean, it's just
right,
it has to happen.
All right,
but...
have fun.
Okay. All right.
Did the shoot take place later as the day progressed, or?
It was basically like immediately after. If I proposed at like 4 o'clock, the shoot took place from like 4 to 5. Like, after me and him finally got our shit together and got in touch, he basically showed up and started taking pictures of us, basically.
Did you realize that you were proposing to him?
Yeah. This wasn't like a separate, like, hey, we're engaged, let's go call a photographer and take photos. This was more of like...
I guess that's a little more palatable, but...
Listen,
oh, man.
Yeah, no, that explains a little, because
we're thinking you
proposed to the girl, and then a week later, let's take engagement photos.
Yeah, that's the way it looks, is that we got engaged and then, like, immediately called the photographer and was like, hey, take pictures of us. And it wasn't
actually, I have a feeling that's the way it is. And since you knew this was coming, you took the last couple of days and figured out a way to make yourself
look better. If you would like, I can show you the pictures, and they are timestamped June 18th. So.
Timestamped. It's Photoshop.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can Photoshop that.
It was done 30 minutes after we were engaged. So it was not a, hey, look at us, we're engaged. It was more like
So basically the reason that we didn't charge you more is because things got fucked up.
No, that's the thing though. He didn't charge me more before, when we had a conversation prior. I basically said to him, how much is it going to cost if we just do the proposal? And he said, it's going to cost the same. We might as well just do the photo shoot afterwards. And I'm like, okay. You know, so basically, the way I look at it is we got a free set of photos out of the deal.
Yeah.
Although
the main thing you hired him for was to catch the engagement.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing was to capture the proposal, and he didn't get that. So,
it should be a discount here, 50% off.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You fucked up, buddy. I guess he didn't fuck up. He didn't know there was five fountains to choose from. So.
No, he didn't. He had no idea how gay you were going to be. No.
Well, probably. But the guy was at the fountain. Like, the fountain we were at is not, quote-unquote, the fountain. When you look at the fountain we should have, he thought we were going to be at, it's like five times the size of the one we were at. He was definitely not wrong.
Oh,
we just got
the fountain. Not
big old
a fountain.
The big old
exactly.
Fountain.
We were at a fountain,
yeah.
And he was at the fountain. So I can't blame him at all. He did a good job. He's a good guy.
God damn it. Can't you do anything right?
No, I know, but that's why it's funny. It's like the one time where I actually, like, plan ahead and try to do something nice and thoughtful, and it ends up not working out the way it's
supposed to. Blow the load on you.
Well, now you have an excuse to do absolutely nothing in your marriage. Just be like, look, I tried to look.
I tried to do this, and
guess what?
Yeah,
it definitely didn't work out.
So why bother trying? Yeah.
Let me flop around and not do anything.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm well aware. I know everybody will make fun of me for these pictures, and that's fine. But it's funny because – and I've done it too. I make fun of my guy friends when they have pictures like this. So I totally am fine with it. But it is funny because I work with, like, a bunch of girls, and they're all like, wow, I never would have thought of that. That was such a good idea. And I'm like
– no, I know. I'm telling you. I knew – Louis telling his wife about that was she was going to sympathize with you guys. I knew that.
Yeah, basically every woman I speak with is like, oh, that was so sweet. And every guy is like, you're
like, such a sweet idea.
Right. And every guy thinks I'm gay, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Michael, well, you're just a darling, Michael.
I don't know why all of the girls you talk to are like Southern Belles, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I start working in like Louisiana.
Yeah.
Michael, that's so dear to my heart, Michael. Would you do me the honor of sleeping with me in my butt?
Let me take me to your cotillion.
Take me to your ass cotillion, Michael.
So yeah,
hell, I go to an ass cotillion. That sounds great.
That's basically the story of my photo shoot. And by the way, and I hate to use the word gay, but as gay as something like that is, it's even more awkward because, you know, me and Erica are sitting there, and he's basically, like, telling us what to do and how to turn and how to position our bodies, and we were just, like, sitting there the whole time, like, this is so awkward. Like, we are not – this is not, like, normal. It was just so – it was very
well,
awkward.
Well, you won't be able to handle being a model then, Mick. I'm sorry to tell you.
I know. All of these good looks are going to go right to waste because I can't handle the – direction of being a model.
All right, we spent enough time on your faggotry. We need to move on. We need to move on. So, one actual serious thing before we get to the lighthearted stuff is that, there's been a whole bunch of shit happening. Everybody knows it. Mick, you actually talked about it on Facebook. You know, the several deaths and whatnot, and the cops. I don't really want to get into all of that because it's just too overwhelming to me. And I'm and the more I look into these things, like, the more ambiguous it seems to be on either side. But for the most part, there is a sentiment with the cops that they are targeting black people. And statistically, it's true. Percentage-wise, like, based on the population, like, yes, more white people are shot by cops throughout the year. But when you talk about percentage of the population, the percentage of black people is around, like, I don't know, like 42% or something. And, like, 23% of the shootings or whatever are blacks. It could even be higher than that. I think it's like 40% or something.
The larger contrast is in the unarmed.
That's part of it too. Yeah, of course.
De-escalated more frequently when it's a white person being stopped, whereas it's escalated more often.
Yeah,
I think that's where the larger disparity is, and really. It's
if Christy was here, like we'd get into this more because I know she has a lot to say about this. But what I wanted to bring up is the Dallas police shootings, which,
yeah.
I mean, you know, that's not even what I want to bring up about that it happened. The fact that it happened to me is unconscionable. I don't advocate.
Right.
Killing people just because they're doing their jobs. I don't advocate killing people for a stupid reason. Innocent people. And yes, there are cops that are innocent people.
Right, of course.
It's whatever. But, which I find bizarre, is the fact that the cops used a bomb robot to get the sniper who was hiding out. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Originally, they said that he killed himself. I don't know why that was released.
Right.
Yeah, they used a bomb robot to blom them away, which is interesting. I've never heard of that tactic being used.
No,
but people are
upset about it.
Are they?
Yeah, people are, oh, what does that mean? That you know, police can now be the executioner of, and that's, that first off, that's kind of what the whole point is about, like, the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, there's no due process, you know. It's just you go from you know, committing a crime to being dead. No due process.
Right.
That's sort of their argument. However, in this case, we're talking about a sniper, an active shooter.
Yeah,
that's
an
killed
sniper. It's not like they have him in custody and then just keep him in a room and then bomb the room up. This guy is actively trying to kill people.
He's not even specifically going to try to kill those.
Kill them,
that
yeah.
are going to go walk through the door. Like, that's what he
right.
wants.
Yes.
You to do that.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I don't really see a problem.
He's an active shooter.
He'd like to catch
police
him alive
snipers
and,
couldn't,
and put him through.
Couldn't see him. Police snipers could not see him. Negotiations had broken down. Police snipers couldn't see this guy, and guys in that situation usually don't come out alive. And I'd go as far as to say that if you fire a fucking gun into a crowd of people, or you've just sniped several people, you're choosing to forfeit your life.
Yeah, you know that it's not going to end well for you. Probably shoot it out.
I mean, that's what happens in, like, 98% of those things.
Yeah.
Well, specifically, it's not... Yeah, I mean, yeah. And you're specifically trying to mass shoot police officers, not, like, just innocent people and then get taken down.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was say, you can't expect at that point them to basically just, you know, politely subdue you and carry
yeah, but
on.
I mean, that's, it's not even because it's cops. I mean, it's, you know, I don't find any element of retribution in that at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no,
you know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, who knows what everyone's heart's desire,
end,
but like that's
but they're trying to end the threat. I mean, the same thing with the Pulse shooting when the guy's blowing everybody away. At some point, they have to, you know, try to get rid of him before he kills more people. Yeah, it's not a retribution thing. It's a we need to stop him or her, but mostly him, obviously. We have to stop him from killing more people in the next 5 minutes. Or the next 30 seconds or whatever it is.
What?
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I have no issue with that.
It's just it's just that I don't, like, there's no way that is going to end, no matter the race, that's
mm-hmm.
going to end without the person's death.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very, very unlikely.
You know?
I mean, yeah. What are they going to do? Throw smoke bombs in there and then go in and get them? And it's just, yeah. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, it's just bizarre to me. And the whole point that people were trying to make is that, oh, you know, now they can use bombs against people. Well, guess what? When the sniper is hiding and he's still got his gun.
Right.
You know, and there's still a threat. You know, how are you going to solve that without sending a fucking bomb to get the guy?
Right.
You know,
at that point, like,
the explosion. The blast was contained. You know, everyone else was evacuated. There was no danger to anyone else but this guy.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, that's the point. It's not like they're blowing. It's not like they're blowing up a bomb in a crowded area where other innocent people are going to be affected or killed. Of course.
Yeah. It's not like dropping a firebomb on a house, which is just part of a bunch of row houses and burning
down
60 houses.
Yeah.
It just blew the dude up. I actually don't know the situation really at all. I just know that he was blown up. But was he in a garage or something like that? Is that what it was?
I
don't know where exactly.
I don't actually remember.
I remember hearing the word garage.
Yeah.
Garage.
Garage. Yeah, I think in a garage or something. Yeah.
Garage.
Well, speaking of which,
actually, is what they said.
Speaking of which, on Friday I went to the hospital with my wife for baby stuff, and as
ooh.
I was parking my car in the parking garage.
Garage.
In
the garage.
Some dude got run over by a van. He got fucking
hit
by a van and went flying like. A good, like, you know, no exaggeration, like 8 feet, like flying.
Damn.
Whoa, in the air. I was like, oh, that dude is dead. That
holy
guy's
shit.
Over. You know, like, I was like, oh. And I was telling Mike this when I saw him on Friday, like, I've gotten to the point where I've seen so many fucking videos online, like decapitations and, you know, like car accidents where, like, it affects me. Like, you know, it stays in my mind and, like, I don't want to see that shit anymore. And to be honest, I was out.
Yeah.
I was about to leave. Like, you know, like the lady was crying for her husband, yelling it was a parking attendant who fucking hit the dude.
Louis basically saw it and was like, fuck this, I'm out. But then
I don't want to see this shit. But as I'm walking, like, took 3 steps, so I was like, yeah, I can't see this dude. Dude's dead. I'm not, I don't want to see a dead dude. I look back and everyone's like staring, like frozen, you know? And I was like, fuck, like, if I don't step up, like, everyone's just going to be there. You know?
They're all going to sit there and watch this guy die, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, yo, like, what's up? And, you know, so I had to be the one and snap everybody. I was like, yo, and I ran over, like, yo, call 911. And so dude's head landed like underneath another car that was there to, you know, to hand his keys and, you know,
The car wasn't moving. It's not like his head got run over.
No, but still. But
yeah, no. He like flew into that car and when he landed down, like his head like was under that car. And the car was on, so, like, the heat from the engine was on him. So I had to yell at that dude, yo, back your car up. And, yell to the attendant, call 911. And we were at the hospital, so I ran to the hospital. And get this, I run to the hospital, and the security guard, and I'm like, yo, could you, get the emergency room? Dude just got hit by, I told him he got run over.
Right.
By a van. And he's like, oh, you got to call 911. Like, yeah, they're not gonna. I'm like, are you kidding me, man?
He couldn't just call up to the hospital.
No.
You're at the hospital
dick.
And can't get some help.
Yeah.
You have
so
to
I was like,
call
yeah,
man,
I don't want to waste time. Let me call 911 then.
Right.
They had gotten the call already, and they were asking me questions. When I walked away from dude to run, sprint full force to the hospital. He was convulsing, like his eyes were back in his head. So
oh,
I was surprised I didn't see blood, though. I was surprised and glad, I guess. So when I came
right.
back, dude was actually like coming to, and they were asking him stuff, and he was like, but at least there was no blood, and it looked like there's any crazy fucked up broken bones.
Yeah.
I was very surprised, and he was very lucky that it was not. Like it looked 10 times worse. Like, I looked over, I heard screeching, and the van going full fucking force, and this dude flying in the air into another car. I was like, boy, that dude is dead, so.
Actually, what Louis did is that he poured a bunch of coke on the guy's forehead and did lines off it.
I was like, oh, you're dead.
Well,
let me celebrate your life.
So let me ask you, so the fact that you, like, kind of, like, jumped into action and helped this dude out and took care of things, did that, like, prove to your wife that you're going to be, like, a good dad? Like, did that score points?
Not really. She didn't. Well, she wasn't there. She was already upstairs. I had dropped her off. But, even when I told the story now, that was not acknowledged.
She was
all.
Like, oh, good for you, King here.
No, here's what she said when he told her. She was like, oh, you finally had enough of your limp-wristed bullshit?
Yeah, is that what she said?
Yeah, and Louis was like, oh, no, I haven't actually. He was like, no, sadly. But
good for you anyway, regardless. You did a
good
job.
But no, you know what? I was reading this article that said, like, in situations like that, like, and I was telling Louis, like, there's this, like, bystander effect where people are, like,
oh, for
mesmerized.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing, yeah, they, like, if for example, there was one other person in the parking lot, that person would be much more likely to jump into action than if there were 10 people standing there. Because, yeah, they all kind of wait for somebody else to make the first move.
Yeah.
But they say that there's a fix. There's a way around it. Like, if you are like Louis and you're able to, shake yourself out of it or whatever, by pointing people out directly, like, you with the mustache or you with the purple shirt or whatever, like that shakes people out of, and give them specific commands.
Right.
Like, you call 911.
Yeah.
You jerk this guy off so he doesn't think about
that's
he's dying.
Just saying, yeah, somebody call 911, and then everybody kind of looks at each other like,
right.
Me or you or him? Yeah. Interesting.
Yep. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, let's see. We got about 15 minutes left. So, let's end on a light note. Let's end on a light note because I'm really trying not to get in deep into sort of all this heavy nonsense. Like, the world is fucking depressing lately, man. Like, this year
it's. I feel like it's in the last just a few months really is so much more harsh. So. Yeah, I'm glad to move on to nonsensical stuff.
I mean, bloody hell. So what we've got is I asked you guys to think about your most embarrassing story, which we may have done before.
I was going to say, it was funny because when you said that, I think we did that a couple of months ago, and now I can't think about what I said on the show last time, and I honestly can't remember.
No, I don't. I think I told the story about this dude calling me out for farting in the middle of a
Borders bookstore.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were all hanging out, and I think he himself, Sean, had farted earlier, and I had as well, and it was just when Mike decided to fart that that he decided to yell out, and we were in the and you know when you go in, you know when you go into a bookstore, the magazines are like close to the door, close to the action. Most people gravitate to that area, and that's where we were, which was also next to the cafe where everyone was sitting. So it was the most dense part, you know, one third of the store. All of it, all the rest is like empty, you know, unless you're specifically looking for something. And yeah, he homeboy shouted out to everyone. Yo, he farted and pointed at Mike, but I was right next to him, and I had to bail. I had to leave right away.
You couldn't stand by him. You had to be like, "Oh,
no,
it doesn't mean me. You mean them."
Oh, I mean, it was bloody ridiculous.
It was bad. I'm sorry I broke out on you. I was like, "Peace out." But to be honest, it was one of the most. I can't think of a more embarrassing moment for myself, and it wasn't even me. I was mortified.
Yeah.
People think I'm wood farting.
And that, like, that's actually the second most embarrassing event that involved farts.
Oh, yeah.
For me. The second.
For you? Yeah. What was the other one?
Morgan.
Oh. Yeah, that's embarrassing. But I don't know. Like, to me, embarrassing... I feel like the one that happened with Morgan was more humiliating. If I'm honest.
Well, yeah, I guess. They go kind of hand in hand.
I know.
Yeah,
but...
it was definitely super humiliating. So I'm sitting like either on the couch or up against the couch or whatever, and. And Morgan decides to walk by, and I make like I'm going to go kiss his ass. You know, I'm like, mwah, like that. And I made the sound and everything. I did the sucking in of the air. And so right as I'm doing that, he fucking rips one.
Yeah. Literally,
he
like
fucking
less than
rips
5
one.
Inches, surely. If not 2 to 3 inches from Mike's side. So he surely sucked in even, you know, a small amount of a fart into his lungs.
Or the way Louis being kind right now, but what he said at the time was, "You sucked a fart out of Morgan's ass."
He did, though. God damn.
Which is essentially true. I mean, let's face it.
Hot. It was simultaneous. It was simultaneous.
Now, did Morgan like feel bad about this, or was he like,
no.
"Oh God, no.
Or, okay,
this is you don't know. Do you know Morgan? Have you met Morgan?
I've met him a couple times.
At my bachelor party for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yes, that's right. No, there is Morgan will never be ashamed about humiliating someone ever.
Okay,
no.
I didn't think
ever,
that.
Ever, ever.
Maybe he was like, "Oh man, I didn't realize." Yeah.
No. He meant to fart in my face. I don't think he meant for me to suck the fart out of his ass.
He didn't know that you were going to do that. Right, exactly.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Right.
That was just
but he wasn't sorry when it happened.
That was just a happy coincidence, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Very happy coincidence for him.
I was like, wow, kind of.
And to tell you the truth, I don't even think he really realized that it happened. He just went to fart in my face. I'm pretty sure Lou pointed it out.
Yeah, I was like, what?
I mean, did you start like gagging? Like, what was your initial reaction?
No, because I didn't really taste it. I just couldn't. But I was just like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Mike just got serious and looked to the side and down.
That was truly humiliating.
Yeah, that was humiliating. That was bad.
Fantastic.
I remember a childhood thing that happened to me once. I was on the bus with my mom and a childhood crush that I had, this girl named Jessica. I think I was like 11 at the time, 11, maybe 12, but not even 10 or 11. And I was a chubby kid. and my
no,
yeah,
no.
Chevy kick, and my my belt broke, and
ooh. Oh,
yeah, I know, but they were like legit holding my pants up, pants were falling down.
Oh,
so we were on the bus, and then, like, we were falling down, and I couldn't keep them up, and this girl was howling in laughter at me.
Like, oh, my God.
She was just, like, howling in my face, like, oh, my God, I can't believe your belt broke, you fat mess. And there was nothing I could do. I had to hold my pants up.
Damn.
Holy
yeah, that's pretty
shit.
Bad. See, I was saying, I had a moment like that, but actually was not a moment like that, but a moment around that age involving a girl. The girl actually wasn't there, but I had this I had a crush on this girl, and I had written her a note because, you know, that's what gay children do, apparently. And I basically wrote her this love note. I was like 10 years old, and I had it in my book bag or whatever, and after school, once a week, we would have religion class across the street at the church. So I'm sitting there, and I don't know how this kid – I guess this kid was just rifling through my stuff without me knowing because I was oblivious and actually paying attention in class like an idiot. And
oh, God.
All of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I hear the kid behind me start talking, and I kind of like zoned out for a second and wasn't listening to what he said. And then I realized that he was reading my love note to this girl. And like,
oh,
thank God the girl was not in this class, or else I probably would have just jumped out the window at that point. But it was bad enough just knowing that, like, everybody else basically was like, oh, my God, Nikki likes this girl, and blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is, like, humiliating.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't even know what I would have done if the girl was actually in the room at that point. I would have cried.
Holy shit. Yeah, actually, something like that Something similar to that happened to me also in like middle school.
Mortifying is that what that is?
Oh, it was so mortifying. So I had a crush on this girl Jessica Souza. Do you remember her, Mick?
I do. She was in my kindergarten class actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jessica the Sucio.
No, she was actually. I think she was Portuguese. I'm not sure, but she.
Yeah.
You know, we used to exchange notes all the time during class, like all the time. And I wrote one that said like I shouldn't be talked to. I was trying to fucking make myself look better and whatever, like all the stupid shit kids do, man.
Right.
So gay. I'm cringing now. But
yeah.
But like I was trying to make myself look better. I told her that I had a girlfriend and she didn't want me talking to her, and I thought that would like make me look better. And the girl, I'll never forget the girl. I told her my girlfriend's name was Debbie Walker. I'll never forget that. And so somehow that note got out. Somehow like all of my bullies got a hold of it.
All of them?
And there's a good chance of, yeah, pretty much all of them.
At the meeting of Mike's bully, they passed out the notes. Like,
yeah, they passed it around. And God damn, if that wasn't just a clusterfuck. I had people reading parts of it aloud in class.
Oh,
Jesus.
God.
And, like, I mean, I know Jessica was kind of mortified that was happening. But I think she might have been the one that leaked it.
Damn. Yeah, that makes sense if she's the one, the last one that had it.
See, it's funny because now she was there when I had a very embarrassing moment, except that I was like 5, so I didn't really have that feeling of embarrassment at the time because I guess I was, you know, too young. But when I was 5, she was actually there when I got stung by a bee in my butt.
Are you sure it was a bee and not a priest?
No, yes, this was not in school or religion class. No, we were actually going. We were actually at my father's softball game, and on my way I was drinking soda in the back seat of the car and spilled it all over my lap. and then went to the softball game and was just sitting there in the bleachers, and all of a sudden I got stung on my ass. So my mother basically like pulled me like behind the tree or behind the dugout and basically pulled out my pants and was making sure I was like not dying.
Did she suck the poison out?
Did she suck a fart out of your ass?
No, but I was sitting with I guess Jessica Souza's dad was playing with my dad because I was sitting with them and a couple other people on the bleachers.
Oh yeah, were they playing together under the bleachers?
No, they were not.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I, you
but,
know, I wasn't.
But anyway, so
cause I was like,
so listen, so the worst part about the whole Debbie Walker thing was that Jeremiah had gotten a hold of it too.
Oh no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeremiah actually really embarrassed me in front of a girl once too, but go ahead.
I kind of based Debbie Walker off of this girl that we met at a high school that Jimmy Greco took us to.
Oh no.
Yes.
Jesus.
Louis, I'll tell you about Jimmy Greco off the air.
That's another show. We don't have time to.
That's a whole
other
show.
Yeah, that needs more.
That's a whole other show.
Jimmy Greco.
Jimmy fucking Greco. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to let Mick tell you about Jimmy Greco. Because, Mick, did you ever go with Jimmy Greco?
We hung out, yeah. I never went on any of the, like, camping, hiking type stuff. But, yeah, we used to go to.
Yeah.
Ice skating and all that stuff. We did that.
You know what's so fucked about that is that I literally never got a creep vibe from him because I went with him for a couple of years and I think but I mean everybody called him a creep
like wait, you're hanging out with Jimmy Greco, he's such a fucking child molester and he's a fag and he's this and that.
Yeah,
he never did or said anything.
No.
To me, in front of me.
And
Jeremiah
was with him for like a year, too.
Yeah, I think like he went like dirt bike riding and stuff like that. Like I never did that kind of stuff. But I remember like every Friday night, he used to pick a couple of us up and we used to go play basketball and go to the hammock and go ice and go to Nathan's and shit like that. And I had a blast.
Jimmy Greco.
Yeah,
was he older?
Like, yeah, he was.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was older.
He was probably in his 40s. Right, probably, and we were like what, 10, 12?
Like late 30s, maybe
weird.
Early 40s.
I was gonna say it's weird to say there's like a 4-year-old guy hanging out with 12-year-old kids for sure.
Oh
so,
yeah, definitely.
But
Louis, like it wasn't because he genuinely like took kids that were not doing well in school or were having like social problems, not like fucking retards, but.
Poor if he was rolling with you guys, it was retarded.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew him because he was a baseball coach in Little League. He wasn't
right,
my coach.
Exactly.
That's
the kind of thing he was involved in. He was for the city of Mount Vernon. He was like an organizer for like sporting events and shit like that.
Yeah.
I think he ran like the rec center or something like that. But he looked out for like young boys. I guess that sounds terrible, but.
It does sound
like I said,
terrible.
I was with him for like a couple of years, and he never, there was no like cuddling.
Never
like he never asked me to come touch his wang or even like lay next to him or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I will say, speaking of Jeremiah, is so at some point, Jeremiah started hanging out with these kids that Jimmy Greco didn't like, and. Tony was kind of in that, too. Tony and Jeremiah started hanging out with these guys that Jimmy Greco didn't approve of, quote, unquote. And Jimmy did get very, like, butthurt and, like, well, if you're going to hang out with them, then we shouldn't – then I'm not going to take you to this place anymore. And Jeremiah and Tony were just kind of like, okay, then, peace out. Like,
who were those kids, though?
That, like, a couple of people, like Ron and Mike Fucci and –
some
of those kids.
I think Jimmy's concern was valid then.
I mean, looking back on it, sure.
Because
Ron and Mike were like the metalheads and the, smokers and that kind of stuff, and Jimmy wanted to steer.
Yeah, but they weren't
like,
just the smokers. They were into, like, weed and shit.
Right. But, yeah, so, like, I mean, I guess it wasn't – but yeah, he –